Today is the advent of hope. You know, hope for change exists for everyone. We always hope for something. When people hope, it's usually for a change to the better, or we're hoping for some kind of improvement, whether it's in our health, in our finances, or my wife and I, we travel to many parts of the world because I always hoped to do a little bit better in my job, so we got moved. And that was change. We hope for change. There is always, always hope. There's always hope. And there is one hope that has always been promised. And in fact, that promise was made even before time. That promise was eternal life. It's in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, he keeps his promises, promised before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time, he promised the hope of eternal life. You see, there are three kinds of hope. There is no hope at all. There is false hope. And there is a real hope. Unfortunately, there are those who have had no hope. Unfortunately, it leads to suicide. It's a tough subject. Almost 800,000 people die from suicide every year. That's one person every 40 seconds. By the time I've finished this message, 100 people somewhere around the world will have committed suicide. It's a very sad case. And that figure is probably underestimated because some suicides in some countries are not even classified as such. They're classified as unintentional injuries. So the actual rate is probably double. The actual rate is probably double. Every day in Canada, just in our own country, somewhere between 10 and 11 people die by suicide. For every person lost to suicide, many more experience thoughts of suicide or have tried it and failed. For every death by suicide, there are probably somewhere between 7 to 10 survivors who are affected by the loss of that person. What a sad case. I don't know if you are aware of some people. I had a boss back in the late 1970s, his name was Eric Crozier. Wonderful man. Married, had a young boy. One evening, he was found in a hotel suite. He had tried to slash his wrists. For whatever reason, he survived. 2 weeks later, he jumped in front of the metro, which was terrible. And that was crushing. On just myself, not just myself, but his family and many others. He had no hope. He had no hope, and if I knew then what I knew now, I would have tried to have helped him. Because there is a real hope. You see, when you have no hope, you can't turn to God. But if somebody can help you to do that, you can help a person to have hope. Even those who think they have no hope can turn to God, the God of the Bible, the God of hope. Now there's another type of hope, and it's actually worse, and that's called a false hope. You can have a false hope because when you're in despair, you seek some kind of hope to relieve that despair or that stress or that anxiety or whatever it is. You are out there trying to solve it, and by some way or whatever, you put your hope into something else. Some people put their hope into alcohol. Some people put it into drugs. Some people put it into money. Some people put their hope into politics, or thinking that, well, I can do what I want because God is a merciful God, and therefore, whatever behavior I have, whatever I hope for, it'll be excused. I'll be fine. False hope, unfortunately, is something that people easily grasp onto. They never let it go, and unfortunately, it leads to total ruin. You know, it's like the person who decides, and I'll just give an example. Well, you know, I'm working for my company, and I'll just put a little bit of money aside for myself here. It's called fraud. I'll pay it back someday, but I'll use that to help whatever my plan, my problem is. There are those who do drugs. Well, I'll use just a little bit recreationally, but it's okay. But that recreational use turns to abuse, and then it turns to addiction. There are so many other ways that people place their hope in the wrong way. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "Hope placed in mortals." When we place our hope in other people or other people's solutions to our problems, those hopes die with them, and all the promise of their power comes to nothing. All the promise of their power comes to nothing. You see, if you have a hope that is a false hope, then the sooner you know that you have one, the better. You see, Satan wants to consume us by our unmet expectations. We want to have the bigger job. We want to have the bigger bank account. We want to have whatever. You can fill in the blanks. He wants you to have that, so he makes you hope for it. And when you hope for it, it's a false hope. Maybe you get the money and you buy your fancy car, but it doesn't get you hope. It doesn't get you the hope. It doesn't get you real hope. It's a false hope. You see, there's no hope beyond the grave unless you know what happens beyond the grave. And you can't wait until the last day or on your what's called a deathbed repentance that you can repent and say, "I'm here, Father, I'm sorry. I've had a false hope." Some do. But resting on a false hope is dangerous. It leads to ruin. You know, one of the things that I find odd is we go to funerals and you wonder. When we go through the funeral service, we say a lot of comforting words and we give a lot of hope. And people who may or may not have heard those scriptures before hear that, you know, we will be resurrected and we will be with Jesus Christ. That may not be the hope that's within them, but they hear this and they don't believe it because their false hope is greater, and it's a shame. You know, in Romans chapter 6:23, it says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." Job chapter 27, verse 8, it says, "For what hope have the godless when they're cut off, when God takes away their life?" We can easily find a false hope even in church. I know that sounds crazy, but it's very simple. We can people, and it happens everywhere around the world all the time. There will people will go to church. They'll say the right things. They'll even read the Bible, maybe even go to a Bible study. They think that by doing these things, it's going to save them. It's going to give them that hope. They don't have, but that hope's a false hope. That's not how salvation comes. That's not how salvation comes. That's a false hope that if you think, well, I volunteer, I do absolutely everything. That's not a false, that is a false hope if you're missing one very, very important ingredient. It's so easily for us to rest on a false hope. We should examine ourselves, not just as we did at the Lord's table. Examine ourselves as to, is our hope the hope worth having? Or is our hope a false hope? You see, there are, as I said, three hopes. There is no hope. There's false hope. And then there is the hope that is worth having. What is that hope? It is the hope that is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring to you to God, to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." That's what Christ did for us. But here's the real key. In John chapter 1, verse 12. "Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name," who believed what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 3, "he gave the right to become children of God." That's what the real hope is. That we become children of God, or that we are children of God, and that we receive that at the moment of receiving the Holy Spirit and believing in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to point out a word that's very key in this scripture. And the word is receive. You see, it's saying here, "You yet to all who did receive him." What does it mean to receive Jesus Christ? What does it mean to receive him? Now, I have a little pet peeve. My pet peeve is when you hear somebody say, "Have you accepted the Lord? Have you accepted the Lord?" You hear that mentioned on the radio. You can hear it on TV. You can read it in publications. And it says, "Have you accepted Christ?" You don't know, the Bible says, "Did you receive him?" Now, I know that sounds like a little bit of twisting some words here, but, you know, when I go to a restaurant and I have a meal and it's time to pay the bill and you ask the waitress, she'll say, "Well, we accept Visa, MasterCard, a debit card, and cash. It's just a payment. I just accept." Okay? Did you receive anything? Yeah, you had a meal, but you paid for it. Right? "I accept." No, he wants you to receive. He wants you to receive him in your heart and in your mind. He wants to receive the Holy Spirit upon repentance. That's what is mentioned here. "You to all who did receive him, who believed in Christ and in his resurrection, who received the mind of Christ," as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that we receive him, that we have the Holy Spirit in us, that we have the mind of Christ. That's what receiving is. It's a lot more than just accepting. We know the story of the prodigal son. When he returned to his father, you think the father said, "Oh, well, I accept you." No, he says he received him and he welcomed him and he hugged him and he had a feast for him. That's receiving. You see, we ought to receive Christ, because once we have received him, he gives us this hope. We have the mind of Christ. And then he gives us a gift of eternal life upon that receipt. Right? In Titus chapter 3, verse 7, that having been justified by his grace, because we can't earn it, we can't have the false hope of being a great volunteer and contributing tons of money and doing all kinds of wonderful stuff and saying that you're the perfect person or whatever, or I'm good. No, that's false hope. What he's asking you to do here, he says, having been justified and received that free gift of grace that is given to us, we might become heirs, hope, having what? The hope of eternal life. This hope is not like hoping that you win the lottery. This hope is a guaranteed assurance that you have eternal life from the moment you receive God's Holy Spirit. Christ, why did he come to this earth? He humbled himself. He was in a throne in heaven. We read recently in our Bible studies how beautiful that throne room was, and it's described in the book of Revelation. Christ was in that beautiful environment and he lowered himself and he became a human. Why? Because he came to seek and save the lost. He came to give us and bring us hope that we would receive him. That we would receive him. Even Job, when he was just full of sores and his family had been wiped out and all his goods had been taken away from him, he had hope. In Job 19:25, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I have hope, he says, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. He knew he had hope. He had hope. So what is this real hope? It's the hope that this world is crying out for. We look around us. We talked about peace last week, but this world, we know, is in decay. Everywhere you look around, there is injustice, there's pain, there's violence, there's abuse. We know this is happening, but we have a hope. We're given a living hope, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Praise be to the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth when we accepted Christ when we received Christ as our Savior, given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ through the dead. And into an inheritance. Oh, wow. This is interesting. We are given something that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's already set aside for you waiting in heaven. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's to be revealed at the last time. I'm not going to read it. I hope you do take the time when you go home. Read Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. It's the new heaven and the new earth as described. It's our inheritance set aside for us and waiting for us. That is the hope of our eternal life. And that's what our life will be like. When you get to the end of it, it says, I will be their God and they will be my people. There will be peace, no suffering, no tears. Amazing place to hope in. You see, there is hope, real, genuine hope. That real, genuine hope is because my Creator, or our Creator, is alive and well. It's because our Creator rules and is the sovereign Lord and reigns today. It's because Jesus Christ died for our sins and releases our guilt and our shame by doing so. It's because we have hope that the Comforter, the Advocate, the Helper, the Holy Spirit has come alongside us and walks with us and never leaves us. It's because the church, the body of Christ, will advance forward and continue to preach the gospel. And it's because God is true to his promise that he will reign forever in peace and our tears will be wiped away. So I asked, have you received the real hope? Have you received the hope that's in Christ? The hope that is worth having, not a false hope? I'll bring back that scripture again, but I'll bring the verse before it too. Jesus Christ came to that which was his own. But guess what? His own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, we received God's gift to the world. Receiving is not a feeling. It's not an impression. But it's a power. It's a power to serve God. It's a power to love God. It's a power to live for God. It's a power to work for God by receiving Jesus Christ. And it is a power of hope. Because Jesus Christ is our true hope. I'll go back to 1 Peter one more time. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The living hope. A real hope. Just close with a prayer. Father God, thank you for your faithfulness and devotion to your people. Thank you for making good on every promise that you make. Thank you for your word so that we can see your promises come true. Even hundreds of years after you have made them, your promises do come true. God, we pray that we do not lose sight of who you are during this Advent season. We pray that we will remember the promises that you made, that we will continue to have hope, and not just now, but for the future as well. Help us to celebrate with joy, but also with humility, remembering that this season is not about us. It is about you, Lord Jesus. We love you, and in your name we do pray. Amen.